Ross, let's talk a little bit about people in the gym who, there's a motto, no pain, no gain. Why doesn't that work?
Yeah, I've heard that for many years. The old no pain, no gain, which doesn't always serve people in the ways in which they want to.
What does it mean?
Basically, pushing yourself to the absolute limit and beating yourself up. Where I do think there's a place for that if you're conditioned enough to be able to cope with the forces of no pain, no gain, basically. So if you're like a very conditioned athlete, or if you've been doing it for many years, and you can basically throw anything at the body and it will chew it up and spit it back at you, then it's a great motto. But for the lay person going to the gym, it can basically cause their lives a misery. The reason being is because if you look at the stressors, which is like there's multiple stressors that the body has to deal with, whether it's coming from the environment, like airborne pollutions, toxic food, poor sleeping patterns, poor quality water, poor quality sleeping patterns, financial stress, all kinds of emotional stress. Like the list just goes on and on when it comes down to stress. So basically all these stressors go into a funnel, as using a metaphor for the body, and then the body obviously has to rebound from these stressors. So you've got basically, if you look at it from two sides of a coin, you've got the anabolic side of the coin and the catabolic. Anabolic meaning positive, rebuilding, that's the like the growth threshold of the body, where you've got the catabolic, which is basically destructive. So if you're in a constant state of catabolic stress, which a lot of these stresses do to the body, if you're not having the adequate, just the basic principles of health, basically, so sleeping properly, drinking enough water, eating good quality whole organic food, and having basically a balanced state of mind, that's just the very, very basics. If that isn't in place, then you go to the gym and you're already tired before you go into the gym. So people are already in pain before they go to the gym, and then they're saying no pain no gain, but they're already in pain getting out the car. So where's the I just think it's,
so they're in a state of catabolic, you say?
Yeah, so they're basically stuck in the catabolic threshold just through daily living. So that should obviously be addressed before they even step foot in the gym. And I'm not saying people should just stop going to the gym. It's just that I see a lot of people doing the same thing over and over again and getting the same, expecting a different result, but getting the same result, which Einstein says is the definition of insanity. And I've seen the same people for years and years and years doing the same thing, and they're obviously breaking the body down quicker than it can replenish itself. Otherwise, they would be getting the results that they're trying to achieve. The body will always try and adapt to a stimulus if it's healthy enough to do so. But if it's not, that's when obviously the priorities in terms of survival will kick into place. So why would the body, for example, if you're running for doing intervals on a treadmill for 30 minutes, whatever the ratio is, 10 second sprint, 30 second rest, whatever, if you're obviously in poor quality junk food, stressed at work, got relationship stress, not getting enough sleep, financial stress, all the rest, you know, the list goes on. And then you go and do some interval training on the treadmill or whatever you want to do to try and burn calories. The body is obviously in a state of survival. So the last thing it wants to do is lose stores of energy, which is the obviously excess calories in terms of fat and adipose tissue. That's the last thing it wants to do when it's under chronic stress, because all it sees is it just wants to survive. Does that make sense? So obviously if it starts to lose body fat, that's its survival mechanisms going away. So it will always prioritize the higher systems again in the chain that I've mentioned before, and I've referred to the check totem pole, when you've got different levels of systems that are more important than others in terms of survival.
Mm. Okay. So let's take the average person who works an office job.
Mm-hmm.
9 to 5, and then takes the work home, so they work until 8. Then they go to the gym at 8.
Yeah.
They're very stressed. They're worried about the money and the family.
Yeah.
Would you recommend them going to the gym and working out or not?
It all depends on what they do. So the phrase working out has become a very popular term in the Western world. But a lot of people could do with working in. So that's obviously the opposite. When you're working out, obviously you're expending more energy than what's coming in. So when you're expending energy, if you're in a catabolic stress state again, and you go to the gym and work out, for example, you're again just putting more stress, more load on the body.
Which is energetic, so you're working out, you're pushing energy out.
Again, putting energy away from you. Like the saying a lot, you don't get stronger in the gym, you get stronger out the gym. So you break your body down in the gym from whatever exercises you're doing, and then it's only when you come out the gym, you have good quality sleep, good quality food, water, a good mental attitude, that's when obviously your body gets stronger and rebuilds itself from the stimulus that you've given it inside the gym. When I say working in, there are multiple breathing exercises. Like for example, you can do, it hasn't got to be under these labels, but you can do like Tai Chi, Qigong, yoga, which has become obviously very westernized now. But there is a lot of just basically simple breathing exercises that you can do that kind of start to cultivate whatever you want to call it, chi energy or basically life force energy that starts to replenish and give more energy back to the body than what it's expending. And that, if you say that to many people now, that'll just, particularly in our society, they'll probably just laugh at you and think, oh, that's all like wishy-washy shit. But, you know, feel free to carry on going to the gym and doing your body pump 3 times a week and spin 5 times a week and getting the same results. That's just what's going to keep on happening. So unless you start to give some energy back to the body through these working in exercises, and obviously just hitting the basics of fundamental health again. So obviously eating good food, breathing properly, thinking properly, sleeping, hydration, all the basic fundamental principles, which a lot of even modern day healthcare seem to bypass.
The underlying root to all this is stress, isn't it?
Yeah. So again, stress, when you say stress to somebody, they just start to think of whatever stress is probably affecting them. But stress comes in many forms. People don't realise that when they, for example, eat a cake on the weekend, that's obviously some nutritional stress going into the body, and the body has to deal with that because there's your body's having to use again more energy to assimilate that food and break it down and use it as something than what the actual food is giving the body, if that makes sense. So again, all these kind of displacement non-foods, I'd say, will put nutritional stress on the body. You've got chemical stress from but basically all the chemicals that we put on our bodies, digest through food, psychological stress, physical stress. There's just all these stresses that people fail to realise, which is fine, that's just the way it is. The body's able to cope with it as long as it's you're predominantly living in the anabolic threshold. So having time to use the rest that you're available to have as a means of introspection and going within yourself. Basic nutritional principles obviously should be followed, hydration, and having a vision in life, basically, whether like a dream or goal that you can work towards, because if you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there, basically. So you have no, if you haven't got any like value as a means to say yes or no, then you're kind of just floating around all over the place
in limbo.
Yeah, you're basically just being manipulated by external sources. Unless you've got a strong vision to uphold, that will be your guiding compass, if you like. So you've got value in your yes and no when it comes to making decisions. So whether it comes to, if you value health, for example, and somebody says, do you want some cake? You, as long as you, like I say, you might have that maybe 10-15% of the time, as long as you're eating good quality whole foods the rest of the time. But what I'm saying is, if you realise that you're eating poor quality food more than 10-15% of your the diet that you're taking in, then obviously it's going to start to break the body down and move you further towards that catabolic threshold. So, but then again, the gym, I know some people in my close circle that have been trying to fight the system for years now when it comes to changing the way the exercise industry operates. And it seems to be going somewhere, then all of a sudden something commercial will take hold and just make it all commercial again. And
in what context? So what's this guy doing and what is he looking to change?
So my old college lecturer, basically he set out to try and change the industry in a sense of being, trying to basically screen people before they went to the gym to see if they were had the gym readiness. So before they go to the gym, obviously now it's all based on sales. You go to the gym, all they want is your money. So this guy was trying to implement a system where you basically got screened to see whether you were healthy enough to go to the gym. Like I say, there's a reason why it's called health and fitness. Obviously, health comes before fitness. You can be very fit, shall we say, but still be sick or not healthy on the inside, and still come across fit. I mean, we've seen multiple times now professional footballers just drop dead on the football pitch. They might be one of the fittest athletes you've ever come across, but then they just drop dead. I mean, whether that's genetic or not, we don't know, but that maybe there's some underlying issue, whether it's emotional or physical, we don't know. What I'm saying is you can be physically fit, but very sick at the same time. If you're healthy, internally, externally, then life's great. So basically, if you just think going to the gym and building up fitness is going to solve all your problems, I hate to break it to you, but achieving true health would be the primary goal, I'm afraid. Although a lot of people find that boring. So.
Cool. So, what would you recommend someone looking for personal trainer now? As you were an health coach yourself, what is the first question that you actually say to people, or what is the first, before you get them in the gym, what do you look at as a first port of call?
Well, there's obviously going to be a rigorous assessment on obviously what they've been doing up until now, their previous exercise, what they're doing in life, occupation, level of stress. There'll be a very, very in-depth questionnaire to find out literally everything about them, to see whether they obviously to see what level to start them at in the gym, and what level of condition they can start at.
Right. So, and if they weren't at a level where you thought they were ready to go in the gym,
yeah,
what would you do?
I would start them off right at the very bottom. And to be honest, I've even like trained a couple of athletes, and I've started them right off at the bottom as well. Just because sometimes people who think they're very fit or conditioned have often bypassed the base levels of conditioning. And they often find if you start them back at the beginning, then they provide a much stable base to work from. But for example, say if somebody's going to the gym and they've just got all kinds of things wrong with them physically, mentally, emotionally, you just start them off right at the very beginning, working exercises, stretches, things that are basically not going to take too much energy away from them. Whereas, again, not taking anything away from personal trainers, they're just trying to do the best they can do. But if you're very in that catabolic state, which I've mentioned at the start of the podcast, and then you go and do some kind of intense boot camp, the likelihood of injury is obviously going to be sky high, and then your dreams of getting that beach body or whatever is obviously going to go diminish right before your eyes, because basically you've turned to shit. So if obviously joints pop out and muscles pull, then you're out of the game for a good 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah, because most people are just trying to get the money off a client, wouldn't they?
Yeah, and obviously, again, that might just come down to conditioning. No judgment on them. They're just trying to do what they feel is right, and if they've got things they need the money for, they're just doing whatever they think's right in their capacity to do so. But I just think it's down to each individual, especially anyone in the healthcare industry or health and fitness industry. It's down to them to try and expand awareness and knowledge. And I'm far from, I'll go to my grave still, far from knowing and as much as I need to know, but I'll aim to do that every single day and find out more and more to try and give the best service to my clients and obviously get them to a place that they need to be.
Yeah. Cool. Great advice, Ross. Is there anything else you'd like to say before we wrap it up?
I'd just like to emphasise that to the listeners out there that the body works again on priorities, in the sense of what serves the body in terms of survival. So right at the top there would be mental, emotional, psyche. So if you're stressed as hell mentally, whatever you've got going on, and you try and use the gym as a means of escape, depending on the intensity that you're working at, it can be problematic. Just because, like I say, it will always try and prioritise the higher levels of the body in terms of survival. Then you've got obviously breathing patterns, which are very important. Skipping quite a few there, obviously you've got digestive health. If you're constipated or got IBS and then you're trying to deadlift over 100 kilograms, then you might run into some problems that are not favourable. So, for example, if you've got like joint aches popping up all over the place, muscle strains, unless this has come from some kind of physical trauma, if you're just getting random aches and pains popping up all over the place and you keep seeing physio after physio, osteopath after chiropractor, sports therapist, what you really need to do is look at the higher systems in terms of the importance of survival and make sure they're all in check. For example, eating the right food for digestive health, getting your mental, emotional patterns right, breathing patterns right, stress levels, obviously not excessive in terms of staying in the anabolic threshold. Get all these fundamental principles in check and you'll probably find that the body heals itself in terms of all these little strains and muscle aches and joint pains. If you're breaking the body down quicker than it can replenish itself, then remember the muscles, the joints, those are the slaves of the system. You can live without a few, you can live without your kneecaps, you can live without your ankles, you can't live without your vital organs, your brain, your spinal cord, your nervous system. So just try and step back a little bit and evaluate your own lives and become a little bit more aware of what's not serving your health at the end of the day. Like I say, when I talk about this, I don't want to be, I love, you know, a bit of off time for that 5-10%. I'm not going to say I'm a 100% strict the whole time in terms of health, but I can honestly say that, you know, 90% of the time that I'm health conscious, and you know, it creates that vitality in which you want to live life to the fullest, really. So nobody wants to walk around sick, fat and feeling like shit, do they? So
no.
You know, it's time that I think we've all got health as a value. It's just time that we realized it, and instead of waiting for some health expert to come and fix us once we start to fall apart.
I was listening to a psychologist the other day on the Joe Rogan podcast.
Yeah.
And the psychologist said, if you're depressed, first thing to do is start eating properly.
Yeah. Well, yeah, bang on. Because the thing is with depression and any kind of mental disorder, purely at the physical level, the food that we ingest will affect the available chemical releases from the brain that we need to experience to be able to experience joy, happiness, for example. So if your sleeping patterns are off whack, you're not going to be having the right melatonin, serotonin. If your gut's inflamed, you're not going to be able to have you're not going to be having the right serotonin levels to feel good. It's basically that thinking, feeling loop again. So whatever you're putting into your body is making you feel like shit. That's just what you're going to keep replicating. So bang on, mate. It's the food that you put into your body will have a, it'll have, there's a book called, it's quite a in-depth, quite a complicated book, but it's a good book to read if you're interested in that kind of stuff. It's called Molecules of Emotion by Candace Pert. We can put that reference in the show notes, but it basically says how the food you eat or don't eat can affect your emotions, basically, which is what we like to say, emotions are energy in motion. So one emotion, so for example, one negative emotion, if you want to say, can then invite thousands and thousands of negative thoughts as a byproduct of that emotion. So there's a lot more to this, and obviously we could talk about this all day, but it starts with the food on your plate.
So yep.
That's a good place to start. Get 8 hours of sleep a night, get on the psychological level, and just come face to face with it and try and address it. And obviously that those are a gift to humanity, that all the challenges in life, whether that's there to serve you and help you grow in different ways. So just embrace those. And obviously, yep. That's the basics.
Let's wrap it up. Thanks a lot. We'll do a lot more of these quick 20 minutes. Have a great day.
Yeah. Thank you.
Bye bye.
Thank you. Bye.